Thank you, Jim. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Miss seeing all of you. Thank you. Parts of the trip are good because you see your family, but parts of it is really hard and challenging seeing your aged parents suffer, and just the stage that they're in. So, good to be back. We came back Tuesday evening, but it feels like we just came back last night because my jet lag is getting worse and worse. I went to bed about 9 o'clock last night and woke up at 12:30. So, anyway, it is good to be back and good to see all of you. Sophia and I look forward to, I always look forward to seeing all of you. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. I'm reminding us today, once again, of your grace that is poured out to each one of us. Thank you for the common salvation that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ, and the hope that we share. As we gather together today around your word, pray for the Holy Spirit and his teaching ministry among us, that we may be true to what he says in his word, and may we live out that in our faithfulness. And we commit this hour to you, that everything that is said may be spirit controlled and Christ honoring. I pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please take out your, I was going to say your notes. Please take out your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation. By the way, thank you, Mike, and thank you, Bob, for teaching while I'm gone. And also, Joe Allen, by the way. Did you enjoy your time with Joe Allen? Joe and Lindsay are two of my favorite people. And so I love the fact that he could be with you and share God's word with you.
You told about your headlight story.
My what?
Your headlight service.
That you cleaned his headlight.
Oh. All right. As we look at this book on the consummation of God's plan through Jesus Christ, where what we're seeing in the book of Revelation is the story that God began in the book of Genesis is now coming to an end in the book of Revelation, yes? And so what you see are the two ages here, the present age and the age to come, that are coming to a consummation. What is now is focused on the matters of the church, and then now we're smack in the middle of this future part of prophecy that we see in Revelation 4 through 22. And when you come to this period, it is so important that you can be structured around this way. You have the prologue and the epilogue, and then smack in the middle of that is this period of time that we've been studying for some time now, and that's the tribulation period. It is that 7 years of period in God's time that is not arbitrary, but is 7 years to be exact. It is a 70th seven of Daniel's prophecy that will bring God's plan to a consummation. That will be consummated with the coming of Jesus Christ to the earth in chapter 19, and then followed by what's called the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Christ, when all of God's promises to his people Israel and the Gentile nations will be fulfilled. Yes, and that will be that'll lead us right into the eternal state in 21 and 22. And what we've been seeing is this question: who is worthy to break open the seals and to open the scroll of God's judgment that are contained within it, that contains the seal, the trumpet, and the bowl judgments? Let me go through this really quickly. And then what we're really seeing is that there are these parenthetical interludes in the book of Revelation that are really important for us to understand, and that is these parenthetical interludes don't really advance the story chronologically, but they pause, and they give us pause and perspective to what's going on and why these things are happening. And when you get to this critical period of the second half of the tribulation is you have Revelation 12 through 14, where there are forces and persons behind the climax of anti-God hostility, and they really are the key to understanding the bold judgments that are about to be poured out in 15 and 16. And so 12, you have this ancient feud between the woman and the dragon, as we saw, is this ancient feud between Israel and Satan. that he's been waging ever since the beginning of time. Yes, and that will come to a head in this end time drama. And then you have these two wars, the war in heaven, as a result of which Satan and his minions are cast out of heaven for good. And then they're thrust upon the earth, and then in which they are wreaking havoc, as much havoc as possible, before they are ultimately judged and thrown into the lake of fire. And then what you see in Revelation 13 are the two beasts that will wreak havoc on the earth. And that's the figure of the Antichrist and the false prophet. And so I want you to turn to Revelation 13. And I'm going to focus on these two figures today. And that way play a prominent role in the end time drama in the second half of the tribulation. So look at verse 1 with me. It says, "And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea." Again, we don't have to guess who the dragon is. That's Satan. If you go to chapter 12, verse 9, it says, "The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and its angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now have come the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and authority of his Christ, for the accuser of our brothers.'" That's another description of Satan, "who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down, and they overcame him by the blood of a lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. Therefore," look at this, "rejoice, you heavens." Why? "And you who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you, and he is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short." And so when you come to Revelation 13, you see, it says, "I saw a beast coming out of the sea," which speaks of the nations. I want you to put your finger here and go to Isaiah 57 for a moment. It's smack in the middle of your Bible. Look at Isaiah 57. Verse 20. Isaiah 57, verse 20 says this. I'll wait just a couple more seconds. Isaiah 57, verse 20 says this. "But the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." And that's what you're seeing, is the unrest of the nations that are symbolized by the tossing of the sea. So when it says the beast coming out of the sea, it speaks to the fact that this figure will be a Gentile who come out of these Gentile nations. "He had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast." Remember, we saw that in Daniel 2 and Daniel 7, which are two visions that God gave to Daniel 70 years apart, but essentially saying the same thing, that the times of the Gentiles will conclude with, it'll begin with Nebuchadnezzar, and then Medo-Persia, Greece, and then Rome. And you see the same thing paralleling in Daniel 7. You have the lion, you have the bear, you have the leopard, and then you have this mongrel beast. So what you're seeing is a combination of all those powers that begin with Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon, that go over to Medo-Persia and then Greece and then Rome. But something strange about this fourth empire, and that is, it is made up of two stages. There's a historical Rome, which will not be overthrown by another power militarily, but will disintegrate from within. Yes? And then there will be the second stage of this empire that the Antichrist will resurrect. And the world will marvel at him because of his power to do so. And that's what Daniel 13, or Revelation 13, is speaking of here. Look at verse 3. "One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. And the whole world was astonished and followed the beast. Men worshiped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worshiped the beast and asked, 'Who is like the beast who can make war against him?' And the beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. And so what we know about this figure is that he will not only be a political figure, but he will also be a religious figure who blasphemes God, and he will be the one that desecrates God's temple that will be built. So put your finger here, if you would, and go to 2 Thessalonians 2 for a moment. There's a few books over to your left. When you go to this writing, Paul says this about this figure. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul talks about these three events. And the context of 2 Thessalonians is this, that the Apostle Paul had taught, along with the other apostles, that when Jesus Christ had gone up to heaven, that he would come back in their lifetime. And when he tarried, there was a lot of angst and anxiety regarding the fact that he hadn't come back. And so when they were being persecuted, when the church was being persecuted, they thought that they were in the day of the Lord or the tribulation. And the Apostle Paul clarifies that and says, no, remember when I was with you, I used to teach you about these things, that you're not in the day of the Lord until these three events happen. And the first of which is the great apostasy. I call it the apostasy with a capital A. Yeah, there's always been apostasies, but this is the apostasy like none other. And that is, it will be led by the Antichrist. There will be a massive departure from the truth. So imagine what will come of even our world when all the believers are taken out, yeah, at the rapture. I so appreciated Jonathan's message today about how short-lived even the Ninevites and their repentance lasted, yeah? It lasted only a generation. Yes, the mighty USA has been blessed by God, but imagine when all the Christians are taken out, just how godless our nation will become, and the world for that matter. We will so quickly plunge into evil and chaos. By the way, don't miss the undercurrents of that godlessness in our government even today. I think anti-Semitism and the rising anti-Semitism should speak to that, yes? Should speak to us regarding the urgency of the moment that we live in. I think we're nearing very closely regarding the time of Christ coming for us, the church, because all the things that will happen after the rapture of a church are all set. Even 20, 30 years ago, when the question was asked of a foremost leading theologian on eschatology, Dr. John Wofford, when can Christ come back? And that was the question. And his answer startled all of us, and that is, he can come back today. All the events that follow the rapture can happen today, and so we are nearing so closely to the end of our time, yeah? And when the rapture happens, there will be a very quick deserting of that into godlessness and chaos in our world. And so the apostasy, and then there will be the revealing of the man of lawlessness or the Antichrist, where he not only will be a political figure, but he will be a religious figure who will commit all kinds of blasphemies. Look at this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become so easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the Lord, day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until, number one, the rebellion or the apostasy occurs, and number two, the man of lawlessness is revealed. Meaning, we cannot be in the tribulation period until we know the Antichrist is controlling that period. The man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. Look what he will do in verse 4. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. He will be the epitome of godlessness. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time? For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. Now, some people have misunderstood this to think that the Holy Spirit is the one who will be taken out. No. The Holy Spirit has always been present. He will always be present on the earth. But what will be taken out is his restraining ministry of evil that he is continuing through the church. When the church is taken out, his restraining ministry is taken out of the earth, and then all hell will break loose on the earth. Yeah, that's what he's talking about there regarding the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So look at this. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and will destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. What's also scary about this time period is that there will be more miracles on earth than we've ever seen before. And that's by design. That's designed to mislead the unbelievers. Yes? And so here's my exhortation, and that is whenever we see miracles, be very quick to ask the question, what are those miracles pointing to? If they're not pointing to Christ and pointing to God's word, then they are what? Of Satan. Yes? In our miracle-driven, crazed culture, it's often very tempting to follow any sign that leads to miracles. But miracles can be done by Satan himself. I'll always keep that in mind. Yeah? Whenever you face a miracle, whenever you see a miracle, you always have to ask the question, what's the purpose of that miracle? And who is it pointing to? If it's not pointing to Jesus Christ and what God says in his word, then it is of the devil. Yes? Yes? Okay. So look at this. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that all will be condemned who have not believed in truth but have delighted in wickedness. It is that concept that the Apostle Paul calls in Romans of God handing people over to sin. And that's a very important concept in Pauline theology, and that is God hands them over to what their hearts desire. Yeah, there is a restraining of evil, but when people insist and persist in sin, ultimately God lets them go in that. We saw this with also Jonah. It is God who is merciful and gracious, and yet his mercy and grace and patience are not for forever. Meaning they don't last forever. His mercy and grace can be experienced for a time, but ultimately God lets people go in their sinful desires. Yes, and this is what we must be careful of. Okay, please go back to Revelation 13. Look at verse 5. The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months or 3.5 years. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them, and he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation, and all inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. He who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone goes into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with a sword he will be killed. And this calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. And you're asking the question, Stephen, does this mean that there will be Christians who are part of the tribulation? Well, no. The church as we describe all the believers in the present age will not be a part of it. Okay, we saw the word church, ecclesia, appear 21 times in Revelation 1 through 3. But guess how many times the word church appears in chapter 4 through 22? Okay, zero almost, but one, only once. That's at the very end of the book when the book closes in the epilogue. And it comes back to whom it was addressed, yeah? But all throughout the tribulation period, the word church never appears, okay? So these are tribulation saints, believers who come to faith during the time of the tribulation. And how they are saved is by enduring the tribulation period. So look at this. In 13, verse 9, this calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. And then look at verse 11. Where you come to another, I saw another beast coming out of the earth. And so what you have here is the revealing of a figure known as the false prophet. You have the Antichrist, you have the false prophet. Talk about the ultimate imitator that Satan is. You have God who exists in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so you have the unholy trinity in Satan, you have the Antichrist, and then you have the false prophet. And so what you have here is the third member of the unholy trinity here in verse 11, and known as the false prophet. It says, then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. Meaning, he's doing all the uttering of words that Satan would speak. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven. So he will be an imitator of people like Elijah the prophet, who will perform these miracles to what deceive those who are on the earth. And so he will perform great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Because of the signs, he was given power to do so on behalf of the first beast. He deceived, there's a key word, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And he was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship an image to be killed. Yeah, I remember as a college student reading passages like this and thinking, what in the world is this talking about? How could this come about? But you know, we've come so far in a matter of 20, 30 years, haven't we? Things that were unimaginable back then, yeah? Things that used to be so far-fetched, and yet things are so real today in our age of the internet. Can I say it? AI. Yeah? Are you amazed at things the AI can do? When you see the voices of people that you can, yeah, I mean, just amazed at this kind of a deception that Satan will use. Just the end of the semester, a student, you know, they're writing these grade papers, and one student She was a student that didn't say a word a whole semester, and yet turned in one of the best papers I've ever read. And so I gave her 100, and then I told her, I emailed her and said, can I use your paper as a sample paper for future students? And you know, usually when you give that kind of a compliment, students will write back and say, yes, thank you so much for that. You know, I would be honored if you can use my paper. But she didn't say a word. And 2 weeks later, she emails me and says, can I make an appointment to come and see you? So I say, sure. And then after just what seemed like an eternity, about 10 minutes later, she says, so I said, what can I do for you? And she said, well, I want to confess that I wrote all of your papers using AI. And I think it was the fact that I said, can I use your paper as a sample paper, which means what? Other students can see what the sources are and all that, right? And so I think conscience got the better of her. And I said, my papers are so detailed. How could you write that? And she said, if you know what you're doing, you can do anything with AI. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? So things that can be used for good could also be used for bad, can it? Yeah. Anyway, look at this. It makes me shudder when I think about this. It says, he ordered them to be set up in image and honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refuse to worship an image to be killed. Isn't that scary? Yes. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark on his right hand or on his forehead so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Even that was something that I used to read as a college student many years ago, and I thought, what does that even look like? But today, that's not so far-fetched, is it? Yeah? That should make us really sober. Yeah, things that, like what's being described there could happen today and is happening today. Yeah? And we lived through that in our recent history coming out of COVID. Yeah, we've lived through that. I don't know about you, but I was always amazed at how peer pressure, what that does to all of us, yeah? We like to think that we're independent thinkers, that we have independence streak to us, but we're really not. We're simply lost sheep. That go where the herd goes. And I was just amazed and horrified at the pressure that people put on one another living through that, yeah? And that's sort of how it will be with the end times during the tribulation, where people are forced to rat on each other, to report each other. And you hear of these things in North Korea and places like that. But that's going to happen here. And that's pretty scary, isn't it? Where you can't buy or sell without having the mark of the beast. Thank God that you and I will not be here during that awful time. One student, I remember, said to me, I kind of want to live through that period. Because I'm kind of curious how it will be. I said, no, you don't. It will be an awful time where people will even try to commit suicide and they can't. Death will elude them. And that's awful. That's scary, isn't it? That's scary. And it says this, it ends with this in verse 18. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. Yeah. Okay. Ah. There's so much to unpack. But let me pause here and give you a chance to ask questions, comments, thoughts on this awful period and these two figures of the Antichrist and the false prophet. Yes. Karis, right next to you.
Hi. So I immediately think, what if we accidentally take the mark or we don't run sure? Like, oh, is that it or whatever? I thought we were supposed to be raptured out, but there's something that can go in your head or your right hand to buy and sell. Like, are we going to accidentally end up taking it? Like, surely not.
It definitely won't be accidental. People will know exactly what they're receiving the mark for. Yeah, because it is the Antichrist who will control all the economy, and you'll be giving your you'll be giving your allegiance to this one. Yeah, yeah. Yes, sir.
There's Lawson. A group of questions back here. The same question several people. Did you modify the student's grade after realizing it came from the other?
I did. I actually made her rewrite the papers. And she wrote it, and I graded it, and it was still good. And so it was a matter of just being her spending the time. She was really broken up over it, and I think she learned a lesson. So I gave her a grade of B, which Sophia thought was way too high. Yeah. Other questions, please. Yes, Donna, we appear. I remember the movie that came out when I was a student. It was a trilogy of the end time events called The Thief in the Night. Anybody ever see that? Yeah. I always joke that God scared me into the kingdom. And I think that's partly true. Because after having seen that movie, I think when the youth pastor presented the gospel, it made perfect sense. And I gave my life over to the Lord as a middle school student. But yeah, go ahead, Donna.
Can you comment any further on where we ended with the number 666? We see that flashed and referred to everywhere.
Yeah.
And what is the significance?
Well, it says it is man's number. I think what it speaks to is the fact of seven is the number of completion or perfection. Remember, there are sevens in the book of Revelation. That is a number of God's completion or perfection. Well, six falls short of that. And he will be the epitome of humanism that he'll display during this time period. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, Harry. These are good questions. Thank you.
I have a question on verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up from out of the earth and had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. Could that potentially be a future ruler of Israel? I had a note in my margin,
the
two
second
horns? Beast. The second beast, could it potentially be a future ruler of Israel?
Why do you say that?
I had a note in the margin of my Bible I'd heard that in another place.
I don't think so, because I think when you look at the Antichrist, that he is a Gentile.
Right.
And so the beast...
It says coming up out of the earth, not the sea.
No, I don't think so. I think it's an expression of the fact that he will be the one that will support the Antichrist.
Okay.
But the sea is more of a symbolic reference to the Gentile nations,
right.
But the earth is not so much so in comparison to Israel.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Yes. Yes. Way back there.
I just have a comment.
Hang on.
Hold on.
Back in the late 70s, I got saved in the mid 70s, and in the late 70s, I went to my grandmother's house, and I would witness to her. Mm-hmm. She was both of her grandfathers were preachers, and when I witnessed to her, she said, "Stop telling me anything about this," she said, and then she started quoting Isaiah 53 to me.
Mm-hmm.
I respected her. Well, then one day I show up, and on her counter was a Rite Aid cough medicine named 666. And I was stunned by it, and I just said, "Where'd you get this, Grandma?" You know, the happiness of the story is my grandmother came to Christ within a year of her death, and there was evidence of it. She was 94 years old, and she came to Christ on her, you know, in her last years of life. It was a blessing. So 666 has been around for a long time.
Yeah. It's the moral of the story also is that it's never too late, is it, for people to come to faith, you know, and Sophia and I are feeling that in full force. She got to, again, share the gospel and plead with her parents to come to faith in Christ, but her dad said to her, he said, "Sophia, I would rather be judged by the merits of my own righteousness than by the righteousness of someone else," which was really heartbreaking. And what we realize is that, you know what, unless it is of the Holy Spirit, you really cannot understand the gospel. As Paul says, the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Way back there.
A few years ago at the University of Wisconsin, River Falls, they had the option of students putting a chip in their hand for identification.
Mm-hmm.
And that concerns me, because is this something that's, you know, going around? Plus on our phones, you know, we have a password to get into our accounts. Mm. Now I see something that says pass key.
Mm.
And I guess that's some kind of an identification.
Yeah.
But it's scary for older people.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it just is these things. And then I was researching something about massages, okay? I'm looking about massage parlors. Next thing I know, I'm getting all kinds of information from massage parlors. I don't like this. Everybody knows everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all are full of humor today. Yeah, I mean, we've been putting chips in our pets for a while now, for many years. And I think we're doing that also with people. I've heard that we're doing that in the military too. Yeah, so that's been pretty scary to think about. Yeah, Lisa.
This is only a comment. We have to remember that, number one, God has revealed this to us so we can see what's mm-hmm. going to happen, mm-hmm. so we can share. Yeah. But we are not to live in fear. God tells us we do not have a spirit of fear. Mm-hmm. So the sole purpose of us knowing what's coming during the tribulation, when we will not experience it, praise God, is to share Christ so others won't.
Yeah.
And I think to Nancy's comment, all these things are just lining up.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it'll be easy to do the Mark of the Beast and people will take it because all the technology is there. I remember when the Gulf War happened and we could watch the whole thing on TV. I went, well, now I know how everybody's going to see the two prophets raised from the dead.
Right,
because
right.
we can see everything. But God has revealed his word to us not to make us fearful. He has revealed it to us so we will share.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And that's the whole point of prophecy, isn't it? Yeah.
It is, and actually, I'm thankful to know what's coming so that I know I don't have to experience mm-hmm. it, number one. And mm-hmm. I did watch The Thief in the Night, but I was like in seventh grade. So, and wish mm-hmm. you remember singing, I wish we'd all been ready. And that's the point. We want everybody to be ready.
That's
God
right.
is not willing for any to perish. So what am I doing is my responsibility is mm-hmm. to share the word
mm-hmm.
and not be fearful. Going back to COVID, the one thing I said was the church Christians reacted just like the world in fear.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot react in fear.
Mm-hmm.
We know who wins.
Yeah, yeah.
And praise God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, aside from getting into the politics of it, I was just amazed at how we were so given over to peer pressure. Yeah, yeah. It's a scary time in which to live, yeah. Yeah, but you're right. We're not to live in fear, but to share the gospel, the urgency of it, which really dovetails nicely with even the message that Jonathan has been going through in Jonah. Yeah, yeah, very good. Yeah, yes, Sally.
With your travels lately, and Jonathan, you know, and like you're talking about realizing how short the time possibly is,
mm-hmm.
and that everything has taken place, that it could happen immediately. Like, I remember as a Christian being amazed at how Christianized South Korea was.
Mm.
How, and now hearing that, you know, it's not like it was.
Yeah.
It's like Jonathan coming out of Ireland, mm. you know, and St. Patrick, and how Christianized those areas were, and the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And now the United States, and then reading Jonah,
mm-hmm.
and seeing how short the
exactly right
lived
yeah.
the truth is, and if it's not shared to the next generation, they have almost
that's
no
exactly
chance.
Right. Yeah, even Korea is amazing. Is living in a post-Christian era. It's going back to being so secular. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah. Dave, go ahead, please.
I have a question. Chapter 13, verse 7, mm-hmm. it says, this is talking about the beast, it was given power to wage war against God's holy people and mm-hmm. to conquer them,
mm-hmm.
and it was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation.
Mm-hmm.
All inhabitants will worship the beast. So what about those that are still believers. I mean, yeah, the church is gone, mm-hmm. but there will be other believers that will be there.
Yeah, I mean, and they'll be a part of being deceived, and so they have to be the ones that are vigilant during living during that time. Yes, yeah, those who have not received the mark of the beast. Yeah, and many of them will die as martyrs during that time. Yeah.
So when it says it has power to wage war against and to conquer them, it sounds like they'll still have free will, but sure. they may be martyred
sure.
for that.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. It will be an awful time to live for those who come to faith. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Sally.
That Texas is going to have Bible reading mandated in the state, and it's going to start in 2030. And as I heard that date, I thought, I hope that's not too late
yeah.
at 2030.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they are going to have all K through 12 have some kind of reference. And one of the stories they said that they wanted the elementary kids to learn was Jonah mm-hmm. and Daniel. Yeah. And the lion's den, and you know yeah. David and Goliath.
Praise, but, praise God.
That's I mean, right.
We've pushed God out of our school system, and we use this false veneer of separation of church and state to do that, and yet we brainwash kids with all kinds of godlessness that you're seeing, yeah, and they're being brainwashed from kindergarten on, and that's where we are as a country. Yeah, you bet. You bet. Yes, ma'am. Martha.
I think we get the view, or I do.
Peer pressure.
Yeah, peer pressure on speaking. I see a lot of this evil in our society, mm-hmm. and I taught at a Christian college for many years. And I see changes that are just overwhelming to me that we're almost in the tribulation.
So fast. Yeah.
So fast that maybe you have to be our age to see it. But yeah. It is definitely not the same.
Yeah. Things that you and I used to be shocked by.
Yes.
20, 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah, I think you're so almost to the tribulation to right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be in it.
Yeah. You'll not be in it. No, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank God for that. Let me pray for us. Our Father, again, thank you for the simplicity and the clarity of the gospel. Thank you that you have purchased all of us for yourself. And there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And yet, that you must settle accounts with the world and their wickedness. And so you will come. But thank you that we will not be here, but that we will come back with you to conquer the world and reign with you in everlasting righteousness. And thank you for that hope that you've given to each one of us. And I pray that, as Lisa shared, that we would carry that with compassion toward those who are lost. And we pray for your mission this week to live out your calling in our lives. And we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed week.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephen. Great to have you back. Have a blessed and joyous 4th of July. Until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.